This is Colourful.
Today is Equal Pay Day, that's right, the 2nd of November. The Fawcett Society, which campaigns for, I suppose, equal pay and other things, going back many, many, many years, they want to see empowerment, equality between the genders. They're reminding us that 40 years after the Equal Pay Act, women working full-time in the UK are still paid significantly less per hour than men. Why is this still the case? They want to see government action. They want to see a change in attitudes from people across the board in this country. Sasha Morgan is with us, and she has been making a special study of that. She's in the studio. Sasha, good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody?
We're good, very well indeed. We're feeling equal.
Are we feeling equal here? I'm not really sure. We've got two guys, two women. Let's just check it out. Yeah, just a little bit of equality there.
There we go. Okay.
You speak for yourself, mate.
Okay. Some of us will have seen Made in Dagenham. Some of us will have watched Downton Abbey, where there are shades of this from just after the turn of the last century. Sasha, what have you found?
Well, I went out and talked to a number of people. I talked to them in the private sector, in people who are working in the state subsidised sector, as some of us would have it, and talked to them about their opinions and their feelings about equality now. As you alluded to just a moment ago, it's 40 years since the Equal Pay Act, and there is a real link between the theme of this recent story, Made in Dagenham, and the coming in of that act. When those machinists went to fight for equal pay, the banner that we remember said, "We want sex," the equality bit slipped around the corner, but hey, that gave them a lot of publicity. What happened was this pushed forward the argument for saying, okay, if women are doing similar work that can be graded in similar ways, they ought to be getting pay that's the same. So I went to kind of talk to people about, number one, their impressions of things now, where have we actually got to? But first I went to go and talk to Preethi Sundaram at the Fawcett Society, who leads in policy and research there, just to talk about exactly why the Fawcett Society thinks that this is an important data mark.
Presently today, 40 years after the fight for equal pay originally started in Dagenham, women are still earning, on average, almost a sixth less than their male counterpart. So that's the size of the gender pay gap, and that's why we mark Equal Pay Day, to actually raise awareness around the fact that this is shocking. We're in 2010, and still issues that were happening in the 1970s have not been resolved, and there's still a massive and shocking gender pay gap that exists. And what we have is a gender pay gap that actually rises depending on the sector that you work in and actually the area that you live in. For example, in the City of London, the gender pay gap rises to a shocking 33%, which is higher than national average. And in the finance industry, actually, we know that the gender pay gap is at 55%, which really is telling of the fact that there are a lot more men that are in high earning positions, but also that where women and men are doing equal work, they're not always paid equally.
So we hear Preethi there, and she kind of was quite kind of vociferous about kind of saying, this is not acceptable. We've had 40 years, but where have we actually progressed to? The sixth figure is quite a broad one, but actually what she's pointing out was there's a differential depending on what sector you are, depending on where you live, where you work. Actually, the differential can be even greater.
And what's interesting, from as far as I'm concerned, is the area where the differential is massive is an area where you think the women working are going to be on massive amounts of money. You know, in the City of London, I mean, there are so many women who, when they bring their sexual discrimination cases, they're on £250,000, and they say, well, actually, my male colleagues were on £1 million.
Absolutely. And I thought that was a real reason to actually go and speak to a young woman who's working in the city at the moment and talk to her about her experiences, just to highlight what it's like to be working in the finance industry now and what people are thinking about. We're about to hear Julia.
I having only worked there for 4 years, I haven't got to the stage where I'm earning that massive amount of money that I can probably see difference in lifestyles between me and my peers. But I would definitely say that there's an unwritten rule about being a female in my industry, that you're automatically assumed, probably from the late 20s, early 30s, that you're going to have time off to have kids. So I feel that will stop you from being possibly promoted and given positions of responsibility. And, you know, the old boys in the industry will sit there and say it to your face, well, why do we bother giving you any opportunity anyway? You're going to be off getting married and having babies fairly soon. Whereas the younger guys are not stupid enough to say it out loud to you, but they will, you know, they will sort of laugh along with the old guys who will say it. So what I don't know about the monetary issues, I think I probably get paid the same as the male graduates who started when I did. I just can't be sure about what the future will hold for someone like me in the sort of insurance, reinsurance sector.
Is there any form of transparency about
zero
earnings?
Zero. all you can see is that, I mean, women who have been in my team, who have gone off to have kids, are definitely, they've come back to really bad jobs, been basically demoted to administrative jobs, and people talk about them behind their backs, and they're basically assumed that they won't, that they don't take their career seriously. And any women who do go, actually, the very, very few women in my industry who do well, but they have, you know, they have to definitely man up and, you know, not mention the kids and come back immediately afterwards and pay for childcare and not expect to leave at a normal hour. And, you know, I guess that's the same that could be said for all. They should act exactly the same as the men in their industry.
Do you think that transparency would help? Would you welcome transparency?
Yes.
If you
massively. It would be very important to me. I think it would be great even if you could see a range of what people were earning so that I could see whether actually to keep putting effort in my company, whether, you know, I want to spend the next few years working hard, I guess.
She sounds really troubled, doesn't she? Now she's, you know, once you got into the conversation, she's realising what could be in front of her. But I got to say, Sasha, I listened to that. And obviously, I don't condone the idea that she's made to feel like an outsider, or the idea that when women come back after having their children, people are whispering about them and giving them a really kind of basic administrative job compared to what they were doing before they had children. But on the other hand, I totally see why you may feel, if you as an employer, what's the point of pushing this person up and giving them, you know, a higher status if they are going to leave and have kids? To me, it's just common sense that you can't have it all. So you probably aren't. To me, I just feel as a woman, if I couldn't expect to get to the top of my industry if I want to have a family. I don't see why I have to have both. And I'm sorry if that's really not the right thing to say, but that's how I feel.
Well, I don't think that Julia would disagree with you. I think there's a real range in terms of the people I spoke to. Julia said, actually, this is my choice. I don't ever see myself hanging around as a wife at home. She felt actually slightly depressed after the conversation. She actually kind of came off and said, God, after I've thought about it, I just kind of feeling a little bit miserable about my lot.
Starting
to kind of get away and kind of going, oh my God, what have I got myself into? That being said, she said, actually, I love my job. I'm very good at my job. I don't see myself hanging around with babies at my feet. So actually, 3 months in, I want to be back in the workplace and I'm going to compete. But she said, she'd been told by successful women in her industry, the way I've got successful is I keep quiet, I don't mention things. And she doesn't take it. She says, you know what, if I see it, I'll call it. And if you're rude to me as a woman, I'm going to tell you. But, so I think there's a real mixture of things here.
But you see, I think that was very revealing, her mood and tone, because what is... And you see, my ancestors in the, you know, in the Bronze Age, that life was so much simpler for women then. You know, you'd come home with a club, you whack them on the head, they knew their place, they were in the cave. That's where they should be. A woman's place is in the cave, basically. And since then, what have we got? They come out, they get jobs, they want money, and everything's gone wrong from there since then.
So would you prefer it if we went back to those days?
Yes, absolutely.
When you would have to wrestle saber-toothed tiger.
Oh, I didn't mind.
You?
I love a saber-toothed tiger wrestling.
Well, let's see what else. I know you've been speaking to other people, some working in the charity sector as well, Sasha.
Absolutely. We're about to hear Elena. She started, we had a kind of a broad-ranging discussion, but she started to kind of think about, well, what was she doing in the workplace and what was the experience actually like? Could she actually, did she know actually about what the circumstances are? What did transparency mean? So she talks a little bit about her early experience in the workplace and what it's like now, where they're trying to make things a little bit more transparent.
Then the first place I worked back in the UK, it was almost exclusively male. So it was the opposite. And I'd gone in on a temporary contract, which then became a permanent one. And I think I was so pleased to have a permanent contract that I never questioned my pay and never really pushed for more pay. And as a result, I think I was on lower pay than a lot of other people who were just much more pushy. Those other people happened to be men. Now I think back on it, I think part of the reason I was probably not very pushy about the pay was probably because I was a girl and it was the natural kind of tendency, whereas the guys are much more forthright about it, which is probably why they ended up getting salary increases, and it was almost all guys who had the senior job title.
And how have you felt about it since? Have you been in situations now, as you've kind of progressed through your career and moved upwards, do you feel that these issues are the same, or do you think things have moved on?
Well, I'm in a different organisation now, which has very clear sort of salary boundaries, which happened after I'd been in the organisation for a couple of years. Now it's very clear what salary you get for what job, what we need to do to progress to the next level, and who's on what salary. It's very, very transparent.
Do you think that transparency has lost anything for the organisation?
I don't think it's lost anything, but in the process of a small organisation trying to become transparent and trying to set very rigid pay bands, it's also been, it was quite a difficult process, because when you had very different people doing very different jobs, it's quite hard to then put them into one structure. So I think the whole process of that transparency was quite difficult for the organisation. And I don't know necessarily if it does work with an organisation of this size. But for sure, it would stop any gender inequality happening.
So that was Elena there, and she brought up, I think, three main issues that I think kind of go across a lot of things that are impacting women. Mm-hmm. Women are disproportionately often part-time or on temporary contracts. Mm-hmm. It puts them in a weaker negotiating position. They're just in a weaker position within the organisation. They don't have the same contacts, they don't have the same networks. So often when it comes to actually having that conversation, saying, actually, this is what I want, they're in a more fragile position.
Yes, they are.
Secondly, and what Elena acknowledged was, actually, there's a behaviour change that might be needed sometimes, because women just don't ask for it. You don't ask, my mother would say, you don't get.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on. So there's a bit of a challenge back there for women saying, well, are you asking for what you want? And sometimes your male peers are doing better than you because they have the bravery and the confidence in themselves to say, I'm worth it.
Which is extraordinary, given that we were talking to a woman there, I think, Elena, what, probably in her 20s, early 30s, maybe?
She's in her early 30s in a senior position in policy, sometimes still talking about herself as a girl, which I picked her up on.
Which is astonishing, because certainly in my generation and the generation that's come after, the people who are in their kind of 20s now, sort of thing, the women have done much better across the board, certainly at university. You see them being much more assertive, especially when it comes to broadcasting in media as well. And so I would have imagined that they would not be shy at all about saying, actually, hang on a minute, this is what I deserve because I'm worth it.
Well, that's what's really interesting. I didn't clip this in, but she talked very clearly about saying, it's interesting that you're asking me about this, because I never considered that I was unequal. I always knew there was no limit to my ambition. My mother came from a generation, she said, where everyone just told her you could be a teacher, you could be a carer, maybe you could be a PA. Mm. I never had that. I was raised by my parents to be very independent, and the sky is the limit as to my career.
Yeah.
But what I didn't think about was whether other people recognise that competency and were willing to pay me for it. And because she was just so clear that she was equal, it never necessarily occurred to her to link that equality into her pay. Yeah. And that's where the disparity was coming in.
The thing that's interesting with her is far less about a real genuine inequality and more about just the fact that we're different. Men and women are different. It just didn't occur to her to ask those questions and also, or have the guts to kind of be as forthright as her male colleagues and say, look, what's going on with the pay here, push for a pay rise.
But I think you're right. There are some issues about characteristics, and one of the things that came out in some of the conversations I had, which where women are shooting up organisations, they're often displaying what might be typically called male characteristics. They're quite go-getting, they're very bolshy, they're very focus and they know where they're getting. But we can't let that take away from the fact that what people might be absolutely great managers, have great skills, and we want to have structures that means that you don't have to just be the loudest person to get the next job. You can be equally competent but just not have that particular characteristic. Number two, there are structural inequalities that mean the pay gap broadens once people get into their 30s. There's much more equality up until about the age of 34.
Yeah.
And then childcare, life choices. Unfortunately, well, we haven't got to the place where men can routinely go and decide to carry the child in a relationship or make that decision. So there are structural reasons why women are getting put down at every stage. And those aren't just about choices. They're not just about personality.
Sorry, I think that first bit, that's complete hogwash.
How so?
Because in an organisation, if you go after, if you're ambitious and you're aggressive about it, of course you're the person who's going to get, promoted. And the idea that you're going to sit there quietly, and there's some structure that's going to protect you, it's nonsense. Whoever you are, man or woman, if you're a go-getter, you're going to get, by definition. That's the way the world works. And if it ever got to a point where it didn't, we would be absolutely stuffed.
But you know when sometimes we're also really stuffed is where people who have inflated ideas of their own sense and their achievement get into positions and are completely incompetent in those cases.
Sorry, but that is life. People take your own estimation. That's the way the world works.
I suppose what one hopes is that the kind of management we have now is evolving to the point where you recognise ability and it's not just the empty vessel making the most noise that you promote. You actually look for qualities that maybe you didn't recognise.
There is no way. Sorry, Henry, there is no way you're ever going to know.
Wait a minute. I'm saying this because, and I think Sasha's put her finger on one or two of these things during our conversation this morning. During my life, you know, my working life, certainly working in big organisations, I've noticed this pattern where certain types of, usually men, but also women, right, do get promoted because they stamp their feet, because they trample over people, and often they're not the most talented people, and others adopt a position, a more passive position.
But that's part of doing. Sorry, that's right, about what leadership's about.
It's not about leadership. These are not the people.
It is, Henry.
These are not the people who are leading necessarily. These are people who are getting paid very well.
I'm sorry. The wisest thing ever said on television was said on Dallas.
Yep.
When Jock says to Bobby at the Cattleman's Club, and he says this, Bobby's complaining that JR. I'm absolutely serious about this.
Go on. And
Bobby says to Jock, JR's getting everything. What's wrong with me?
Yep.
And Jock turns to JR and he says, you don't get given power, Bobby. You take it.
Yep.
And he's right.
And look at the kind of people they are.
Don't care. Doesn't matter. Well, that's the way the world is.
Yeah,
it'll always be like that. Man with biggest club wins.
No. We are an evolved species.
We're not.
No. But we've still got more evolving to do. Sasha.
The Equality Act came in and the Equal Pay Act we've been talking to has been subsumed within this legislation along with a lot of other equalities legislation. And that means that under the Article 78, what we're going to be seeing is the implementation of most of the content of what was in the Equal Pay Act.
Mm-hmm.
And what Preethi comes back to talk about a little bit now are some of the policy aspirations and some of the thoughts about where we need to go forward as a country in terms of what we might want to achieve in terms of making equality around pay a reality.
So Preethi Sundaram from the Fawcett Society.
We really want to get rid of this myth that says equal pay is bad for business, because we know that equal pay pays in the long term. So actually by levelling up women's earning, what you're going to find is that you have an increase in revenue brought in through tax contribution, through national insurance, and potentially even a reduction in the payments through benefits and so on. So we want to say actually long-term budgetary perspective is this is good for business. Secondly, we want law that's fit for purpose. So we want the Equality Act implemented. We want big businesses to really take that initiative to say, yes, we value paying our employees equally. We know that by paying your staff equally and fairly, there's much more likelihood for staff loyalty, staff retention and staff well-being. We also want to be looking at the work-family balance here. This is about men and women having good and healthy choices about their work-family life. So we want to be making sure that the government really holds to their word. They commit to extending flexible working practices. This could include job shares, it could include working from home and so on. To all employees, and we also want to look at how reforming the parental leave system might actually encourage shared parenting within families. So having fathers actually take on some of that caring role, that could only really have positive benefits for family life, but also could positively impact women's potential future earnings.
So there we go, Preethi kind of looking forward at what she thinks kind of agenda is, and a lot of the arguments and the recommendations made there have come out in a report that was just launched today, mm-hmm. which is Where Next for Equal Pay, which has been launched by the Fawcett Society today. So if listeners are interested, they should go and check out the Fawcett Society and see if, like Toby, they think it's something that is needs to be just kind of ignored and that women just need to kind of bang the club a little bit harder, or whether there's actually some really useful things there that we might think about that might actually improve the quality of life as Preethi says, for families at large, not just women alone.
Yeah, it won't just be for women. It will also be for those men who constantly get ignored because they don't shout loudly enough. Because
I'm going to start crying any minute. I really
Henry, is this happening to you? Is Toby shouting too loud for you?
No. I used to shout. But
people who aren't getting on because they're quiet people and they're jolly good, and they deserve more.
But I noticed there were particular kinds of men, not always the best men too, who got promoted, and they were often incompetent, and they got protected by people who recognised them. 9:29 is the time. This from Higgsy. When I was working, I never discussed my salary with anyone as far as I'm concerned. What I earn is no one's business but mine and my employers. I'd be horrified if every Tom, Dick and Harry at work knew what I was earning. Oh, what about Mr. Rooney then? We all know what he's earning. What a stupid idea, says Higgsy. You might be doing the same job, but your experience might be much more than your colleagues. Therefore, you should be rewarded by getting a bigger salary. Bring back the feudal system, Higgsy and Toby. Okay.
But would you suggest, Mark, that a woman doing exactly the same job as you... With the same experience, in the same way, should get less? That's really the question that we're posing when we recognise Equal Pay Day. Thank you very much, Sasha. Brilliant as always.
This is Colourful.